talk a little bit about myself for a while. I've been in the hospital for a while, and longer than I ever have before. Didn't know if I was going to get out of there for a while, but I did. So, give you a little bit of events that happened to me. I've been having passing out spells for probably the last couple of years. They've usually been, just maybe a minute or two or a few minutes. And then I come back. I think one of them was when I was driving, and that's the last time I driven since then. But it was kind of dangerous. Other times I've just been either a passenger in the car or usually home, so it didn't really amount to too much. I think you remember the last time I gave a sermon here, I had blood on my head and part of my face. That was because I passed out earlier that day, and that was the last time I passed out before I went to the hospital. So, Jeannie and I talked it over and decided we need to go to the hospital maybe. They could run some tests to see what's wrong. And so we did that. But they decided to give me a blood thinner at that time. They decided to give me a blood thinner after their diagnosis, which was a blood clot. They thought I had a blood clot in the back of my head. So they gave me a blood thinner, and it worked very well. Extremely well. I lost a lot of blood. So I was back to the hospital, and this time they admitted me and took me off a blood thinner. So they're monitoring my heart, which was a smart thing on their account. And when they were, I passed out again. It turns out my heart stopped beating for about 9 seconds. So could have been worse, I guess. Could have stopped. They were ready with some equipment just in case. But I came to, and then I saw these four or five nurses around my bed and wondered what was going on. So then they had a diagnosis that it was not a blood clot after all. It was my vein. And so turned out that after a while, I got to go home. And so here I am today. Doing better. So I thought I'd give a sermon about the advantages of growing old. Advantages of growing old. One of the advantages, four advantages. I could think of a lot more, but I thought four would be a nice fit. There's nothing left to learn the hard way. Okay. Number two, clothes you buy now won't wear out. Three, your secrets are safe with your friends. They've forgotten about them too. And number four, old age is not so bad when you consider the alternative. Okay. Well, I try to get a little more serious, but anyway. Solomon wrote about being old, or actually about being young and not forgetting God. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, which is the last chapter in the book. And I'm not going to read all of that. It just talks about keeping God in mind when you're young. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to die. Everyone dies. Everyone who is flesh and blood dies. And he says it in such a nice way in verse 6. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl was broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then in verse 7, he says, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So that's what we have to look forward to when we die. He makes it sound so nice. After all, he had a way with words. He was a very wise man. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. It says something similar. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, as it is appointed for men to die once. You know, there is a second death that the Bible talks about. But we need not worry about the second death if we are faithful to God, obeying Him. But it is appointed to man to die once. And so here I am at age 77. Outlived my father by over a dozen years. Of course, he smoked a lot, so that's accounted for an early death, I guess. But the rest of the people in my family all had problems with their heart, and so I guess I have inherited some of that. But it's appointed to man to die once. We're made of physical material, flesh and blood, that doesn't last forever. All right. So it's something we should think about seriously. Old age, then, is a blessing from God. Point number one. Old age is a blessing from God, and the elderly deserve respect. Let's go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Normally I would have gone to the Exodus 20, talking about the commandments. There's a commandment that talks about our parents, honoring our parents. You know, everybody ought to read that, because there's even an incentive for us for honoring our parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Paul says, wrote this. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What was the promise? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. We honor our parents. Bible says we're going to live longer, perhaps, than if we did not. So we have a command from God to honor our parents. In Leviticus, which I'm not going to turn to, it says, you rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. So we honor those who are older than we are. In my case, I don't have to honor too many people, but there's not too many who are older than me, right? Used to think that was weird. But it's the truth now. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, talks about the last days. I don't know if we're living in the last days. I mean, when you read the Bible, you'll find out that several people thought they were living in the last days, and it wasn't. But it seems like we are, because things are a lot different than it were when I was a child. we're basically taught to honor old people then. You go to school, you honor the teacher. If you didn't, you'd get into trouble. And back then, I didn't know what homosexual meant. If you love your brother, I figured that that was a good thing, right? Not so today. Not necessarily. But it's a sign of the times. We're getting close to the end times, that's for sure. I may not live to see it. But then again, before I went in the hospital, I thought I had lots of time left. Now I don't know. Okay. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. I didn't know what that meant until just the last few years. Two ways of interpreting that. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, that wouldn't have occurred to me when I was a young kid growing up on a farm with my parents. I didn't know what that meant. Disobey your parents, that's not a good thing. You'll get your reward for that for sure. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than love of God, having a form of godliness. You know, there's lots of people who go to church on Sunday and sing songs of praise to God. Seems like. Form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Verse 7, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that strange? People who have PhDs. And I have a grandson who wants to have a PhD. He has a master's degree. Wants to go for a doctorate if he can. We'll see. Very smart. He's even a pretty nice kid, you know. But to my knowledge, he doesn't go to church. Maybe it's better that he doesn't go to church sometimes. But people have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Should know the true God. Practice righteousness, right? Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. This is about King David. King's Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29, 29 verse 26. Getting close to the end of David's life. He had already anointed Solomon as king to replace him. And he said, and David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. Seven years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. And it goes on to say he died in a good old age. Well, how old was he? We look at 2 Samuel 5, verse 4. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But it shows that he lived to be 70 years old. And the Bible says it was a good old age, full of days, 70 years. Well, he did a lot in his lifetime. A lot more than we will, I'm sure, maybe, or a lot more than I will, for sure. But 70 years doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? And looking around at us, I would say that at least half, maybe two-thirds, maybe three-fourths of you are 70 or over. Like I said, I'm 77. Some of you are older than me. Bill is the same age as I am. Still a young fellow, right? Got a lot done. Okay. Proverbs 20. Psalms, Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 29. This is for all of you who have gray hair. The glory of young men is their strength. I vaguely remember that. The splendor of old men is their gray hair. Gray head. Well, now I have some gray hair. Some hair. When I have turned white, the other turned loose. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Some good advice in the book of Proverbs. Good advice for people of all ages. You don't have to be young. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory for man or woman, if it is found in the way of righteousness. You know, there's some old people who are not very righteous, are they? Some of them we see on TV. Some we see on the streets. So it's a crown of glory if it's found in the way of righteousness. So that's a good thing, isn't it? Crown of glory. Even God has white hair, according to Daniel 7, verse 9. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. Getting to point number two. We should have gained wisdom by the time we are old. We should be old. Old men and old women should have some wisdom. That's what Job says. Let's go to the book of Job's. Job was right before Psalms 12, verse 12. Job 12, verse 12. Job 12, verse 12. Wisdom is with aged men. You can say aged women too. And with length of days, understanding. I'm sure that's true, if you think about your life, when you were a child, didn't have much wisdom. I used to run around in the woods, my dad and I'd hunt mushrooms sometimes. Wouldn't think much about being bitten by a snake. I never was. But if you do that often enough, you probably will be. I didn't think anything of it at the time. And my dad had more wisdom than I did. He wanted me to get a good education. He didn't have a high school education. He wanted me to go to college, so I did. He helped me to do that. He had some wisdom. To me, it didn't matter a whole lot one way or the other, but now I'm glad I did. Now we own our house. It's paid for. We don't have any bills to speak of. That's kind of nice. Going into retirement and not having much of an increase in my retirement income. It's good to have everything paid for. Just hope it'll last as long as it needs to be. Now let's go to Job 32. Job 32. It's an interesting book of Job. Job was a pretty righteous man. But, and he had some friends that really didn't think much of him. Because Job said that he didn't think he had done anything wrong to deserve all the things that had happened to him. And so one of those people, a young man named Elihu, got upset at Job. Job 32, verse 1. So two of his friends came together to talk to Job. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Job didn't think he deserved everything that he got. And they didn't like that. They thought he had done something terrible. And then wasn't for sure what it was. But it says, then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he, that's Job, justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused. Job was angry with them too, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. That's probably the key right there. They were accusing him of various things, but they didn't find anything wrong with Job specifically. And so it goes on and on. Finally, God made the judgment. And God chided with Job. Of course, he told Job that he had done how, you know, he compared himself with Job in that humble Job. But he also told Job's younger friends that they were wrong too. Let's go to Job 42, I think, verse 7. 42 and verse 7. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, and he basically humbled Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. And so he made them offer up an offering and give it to Job. He did. They were younger and not as wise as Job. God respected Job more than he did them. God doesn't like us to accuse one another, especially if it's falsely. Another example of like Rehoboam, for example. Let's go to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. Remember, Rehoboam was king of Israel. And thought he was pretty wise because he was a king. 1 Kings 12, verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Solomon had died. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of Solomon, been dwelling in Egypt. That they sent him and called him. And then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burden service of your father and his heavy yoke which you put on us, and we'll serve you. In other words, could you give us a break on the taxes? You know, taxes are always a major problem. So he said to them, depart for 3 days and come back. He did. And King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. He said, how do you advise me to answer these people? See, consulting the elders, this is the elders' opinion. See if it's smarter or not than the young people. And they spoke to him saying, if you'll be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Sounds like pretty good advice, doesn't it? But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. This is what they said. He said, "How should we answer these people? Lighten the yoke which your father put on us?" And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Then you say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist.'" You think that was heavy? Wait till you are under me for a while. "And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I'll add to you a yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I'll chastise you with scourges." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king commanded. And the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he said, "My father made your yoke heavy, I'll add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I'll chastise you with scourges." So the king did not listen to the people. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Do your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." And so Israel departed. And so Rehoboam was left being king over Judah. And that's how Israel and Judah split. Didn't listen to the elders' advice. Should have. People who have years of experience and have seen things gain wisdom. They just do. Here's another example in the New Testament. Acts 15. This is about Paul. Acts 15. Paul was a very zealous man. Acts 15:37. Paul and Barnabas were working together. Verse 36 says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" Makes sense. "Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." Maybe this fellow John Mark was young and got a little afraid sometimes. Paul went wherever Paul went. Sometimes he got beaten, you know. It's tough. Then the contention became so sharp in verse 39 that they parted from one another. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul took Silas and departed. So, it doesn't sound very happy, does it? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 11. Paul, let's start in verse 6. So Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. So he had matured through the years. And he said in verse 10, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." So he had several people that left him. And he remembered John Mark. And he said, only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. So he had changed his mind. Mellowed out, you might say, in later years. And maybe John Mark had changed. Maybe he was a little bit more zealous, a little less afraid to be out there delivering the words of God to the people. On a side note, John Mark has a familiar name, doesn't he? The last name, Mark. He's the one who wrote one of the Gospels, John Mark. So what would have happened if they just let John Mark stay in the background, you know, and not have anything to do with him? It wouldn't have been the same, would it? We'd have one less gospel. Or somebody else would have written it. So with age and experience comes a little bit of wisdom. And I think we have that here. Point number three, we can serve God and His people even when we grow old. It's nice to know, isn't it? If you're in business, you grow old, you probably get a retirement package and get asked to take it, you know, leave. Always looking for younger people, fresh out of college, with a lot of enthusiasm and so forth. But we can serve God and His people even when we grow old. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 says this is a song for the Sabbath day. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Psalm 92 verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. That's right. It should be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no uprightness, unrighteousness in Him. Still serve God in old age. Still bear fruit in old age. Maybe we bear more fruit in old age than did when we were young. Could be. Let's go to Zechariah, prophecy of the future. Zechariah, next to last book in the Old Testament. Next to last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah. Chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 4. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 4. Prophecy of the end time. Thus says the Lord God of hosts. Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. I'll bet they're not sitting there today. Yeah. Probably in some nursing home there. Because each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Probably their grandparents are watching out for them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, is it marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days? Will it also be marvelous in my eyes, said the Lord of hosts? Well, so behold, I'll save my people from the land of the east and the land of the west and bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I'll be their God, in truth and righteousness. Something to look forward to in many years, probably from now, or a few years at least. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 2, New Testament. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Talks about an old woman. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So she only lived 7 years with her husband, and then he died apparently. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So she's a pretty old woman, 84. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So she served by prayers. Perhaps that's the only thing she could do at age 84. But the Bible talks about her in a positive way, doesn't it? We can always serve God in our prayers. If we can't do anything else. And sometimes that's all that's needed. She must have done a great job, or she wouldn't be mentioned that way in the Bible. Okay, now let's look at James chapter 5. Hebrews and James and John's. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Well, let's go back up to verse 14. All right, let's go back to verse 13. James 5, verse 13. If is any among you, anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is any cheerful, let him sing songs. Any one of you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. In the prayer of faith, save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, or illnesses, I would say, to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So he talks about Elijah. But if that's the only way we can serve, that's an important way to serve. Praying for one another. That's really important. If we pray for one another, we won't have bad feelings about one another, probably. And James says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person avails a lot. Point number 4. God will be with us in our old age. God will be with us in our old age. Psalms 90. Psalms 90. Psalms 90. Psalms 90 and verse 10. It says, the days of our life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet to boast is only labor and sorrow. So the Bible says that we could live to be between 70 and 80 years. That's kind of an average. I looked it up on the internet to find out how it was like in the United States. And they gave me two different figures, one for men and one for women. Guess who lives to be older? The women. I'm not going to make any smart remarks. But it says the men lived an average 74 and a half years, and women 84.2. So there he is, the 70 and the 80. But the 70 is for the men and the 80 is for the women. Now let's go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I think this is a prayer of David. Psalm 71, verse 9. And this is how David prayed. We could pray like this ourselves. David said, or asked God, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age." So he died at age 70. "Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies speak against me. Those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him. None will deliver him.' O God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life." And so God answered that prayer. David died full of days at age 70. What we would consider not exactly old age. I mean, a lot of young people think 70 is really old, but to most of us, it's not. It was the good old days when I felt good, you know, 70. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2. What's happening to David now? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 29, I think. 2, verse 29. Peter's sermon. Peter's given this sermon. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." It's talking about Christ. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens." You know, David's not in heaven. Although he was a man after God's own heart. "But he said to himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Okay. So David isn't in heaven, although he lived a good life. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. "Listen to me, O house of Jacob." He's talking about all Israel. "And all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he." This is for us. "Even to your old age, I am he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? Compare me that we should be alike." Okay. God's promise that he's going to be with us till we die. And we read about that in the New Testament as well, in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews. Hebrews 13. verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Of course, we could leave him, but that wouldn't be wise. Not when we have a promise like that. I don't know if you remember Mrs. Hargrove dying a while back at age 73. But here's the Vic Kubik's thoughts on the death, on her death. He said, death is only a channel from this life to eternal life. We can't live forever physically. The Bible is a story about a man entering into the family of God and living forever. We do have that to look forward to, don't we? We must shed our human nature in order to be in God's kingdom. There's no more sorrow, pain for the dead. Don't fear death, but be sobered in what it teaches us. That we don't live forever as flesh and blood. Right? We need God. We don't live and die in loneliness. Our life is in Christ's hands. Paul wrote, for none of us lives to himself or dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We're God's people. Whether we're alive or dead. For to this end, Christ died and rose again. That he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Make what we do in life count. We really only have a few years. Appreciate the life God has given us. Now, one last scripture. Go to Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. And that's what we all hope for, right? Be in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. There are two deaths. The first death, when we die physically, and then the second death, for those who are raised up and who resent God or reject God. But for us, we will be spirit beings and be with God forever. Reign with him 1,000 years. Reign over the earth for 1,000 years. That seems a little far out, doesn't it? A little excessive. But if we remain faithful to God at this time, which is kind of difficult, then God will honor that and let us help him as he rules the earth for 1,000 years here in the millennium. So, old age is a blessing to be respected. Old people generally have more wisdom than the young. We can continue to serve God in our old age. God has promised to stay with us to the end. So I hope this has been encouraging for you. Those of you who are old, at least, which is most of you, I hope to see you next week.